Now, moving on to the UN. As we reported just a few moments ago, the UN General Assembly voted on that resolution demanding that Russia withdraw its troops from Ukraine. And as you heard, 141 voted in favour, 5 against, Russia and Belarus among those 5. Ahead of that vote, Russia faced urgent calls to end its assault on Ukraine, but Moscow still denies that it's targeting civilians.
They have come to the Ukrainian soil not only to kill some of us, not only to shift our course and priorities. They have come to deprive Ukraine of the very right to exist. They have come to resolve the Ukrainian issue, as their propagandists claimed. Just stop and think whether these words remind you of something.
Today we call on Russia to stop its unprovoked, unjustified, unconscionable war. We call on Russia to respect the sovereignty and territorial integrity of Ukraine. We call on another neighbor of Ukraine, Belarus, who you've just heard from, to stop supporting the war and stop allowing its territory to be used to facilitate this aggression.
We are not carrying out strikes on civilian facilities or civilians. Don't believe on the large number of fake news being spread around the internet on this. Peaceful scenarios of Ukraine could happen if the radicals are concerned about preserving civilian lives in their country rather than hiding behind them. There is no reference to this call on the resolution for us to vote on.
Russia's advance on the capital, Kyiv, appears to have stalled for the moment. That's according to U.S. officials. It's believed that 80% of Russia's combat power that was assembled along the border is now in the country. President Putin mobilized 190,000 troops, according to estimates. Ukraine has 209,000 active duty soldiers, and last week President Zelensky activated thousands more reservists to support them. Joining us now from Washington, D.C., Lauren Speranza, who's director of the Transatlantic Defence and Security Programme at the Centre for European Policy Analysis. Good to have you with us. Lauren, do you agree with that assessment that Russia's advance on the capital has stalled, or are we seeing a change in tactics by Russian military going on here right now?
Well, thanks for having me. So I think we saw originally a Russian military that was not well organized, that did not have sufficient logistics and support. They suffered some early failures, running out of fuel and food, and we're still seeing some of those failures on the ground. And so I think that is why we're hearing these reports of maybe that convoy being stalled, and those failures are real. But what we're starting to see is Russia also shifting its military tactics because of those failures. And it's resorting to more of its traditional way of war, which basically involves applying massive firepower to major civilian population centers. And we are seeing the use of artillery and rockets and missiles on major cities like Kharkiv. And we saw the TV tower being struck down in Kyiv yesterday. And I think, you know, despite the Russian claims that they are not striking civilian targets, I mean, we have evidence and reporting that directly contradicts that. I mean, we have seen everything from a university to a maternity clinic to our apartment buildings being bombed. And the reality is that this conflict, this war, is getting bloodier and brutal. More brutal by the second. And I think, unfortunately, that's a sign of what's more to come. And this is really turning into a humanitarian disaster.
So what is Russia's end game, though? What is it they're trying to do militarily here?
Sure. So a lot of what we're seeing is they're trying to advance towards Kyiv. I think this is a big center of the war that they are trying to surround and encircle the city and siege the city to topple the government, and hopefully they hope to install a puppet government, a pro-Russian government. And I think that their strategy, what I would expect to see next, you know, they are approaching Kyiv, I think would be we'll start to see some more cyber attacks. They'll try to cut off lines of communication. They'll try to cut off roads so that the city cannot have access to be resupplied. They'll try to undermine the Ukrainian military's capacity to talk to each other, to have command and control. And then, you know, when they encircle the city, they'll try to squeeze. And what we could see is a very destructive urban warfare scenario where you kind of see this house-to-house fight. But I think part of the why we're seeing this extreme bombardment now, the Russian strategy is to essentially rough up the city as much as they can before they kind of actually advance into the city and send troops into Kyiv.
Ukrainian forces.
I would also just
Laura, I was just going to say that Ukrainian forces have mounted a spirited defense. Has Russia bitten off more than it can chew?
Well, I think this is one of Russia's massive miscalculations about this, has been the resilience and the spirit and the fighting power of the Ukrainian people, of the Ukrainian forces, of Ukrainian society. And they certainly have the will to pay the ultimate price to defend freedom and democracy and their way of life, the values that we in the West have taken for granted. And so I think that that has a huge role to play in all of this, the will to fight it. We've seen that the morale on the Russian side is very low. We see a lot of abandoned equipment and kit on the streets of Ukraine, which indicates that the Russians are not dedicated. They're not really in this fight. And that really has a military impact in all of this. The other thing I would say is that even if, you know, they end up taking Kyiv, the political endgame here is a mystery to me, because I don't see how Russia would ever be able to install a puppet government that would stay. The staying power of anyone that they would install is very short term, because clearly the Ukrainian people are never going to allow that to stay. And they will fight tooth and nail, and they're clearly not giving up on their freedom. And so I think the Russians have still a significant fight ahead of them.
Good to talk to you, Lauren. Many thanks indeed. Lauren Speranza there, live with us from Washington, D.C.
Thank you.